everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, I have another great program for you today. The magic of first dates is something that cannot be replicated. Whether it's straight out of a fairy tale or something of a horror story, they're almost always unforgettable. My guest today is Jody Klein. Jody is the author of the book called First Date Stories, Women's Romantic and Ridiculous Midlife Adventures. A demanding career and desire to find the right Mr. Yes led Jody to go on nearly 400 dates over the course of 26 years. She founded First Date Stories, the podcast and the blog, as a platform for women to share their tales and wisdom, so that others can overcome the trials of dating in midlife and find the long-term love they seek. For more information about Jody Klein or her new book called First Date Stories, please go to firstdatestories.com. Welcome to the program, Jody. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you so much for having me on your wonderful podcast.
Oh, thank you, Jody. And I am so excited to talk to you about this topic of first date stories and your book. But before we get to the topic, tell us briefly a little bit about you and the story, the personal story behind you writing the book.
Well, I'd be happy to. So I grew up in a family of small business people. I spent 15 years working in marketing and high-tech companies, and I always thought one day that I'd start my own business. So I left after around that time, and I started my own marketing consultancy. When I did that, I started a dual-track career by adding property management to the mix. So I was doing both and running this business. And as I'm sure you're aware, high tech is an intense and demanding industry, and running your own business is also all consuming. So for many years, work came before dating. Not that I didn't go out, not that I didn't have any long-term relationships, because I did, but the social part took a back seat for quite a while. And when I got into my early 40s, I realized that dating at that age and beyond that age is a lot different from dating in your 20s and your 30s. And there's certainly a lot of positives, for sure, but it's more challenging for a whole host of reasons that we can touch on later if you'd like to. So I kept dating and doing things that I enjoy in life and taking breaks at time. And then one evening when I was 47, I went to a business event. The last thing on my mind was to meet a man to go out with, but I met a man, and that man became my husband.
I love that story, right? When you least expect it.
Oh, yeah. You know, Dr. Terry, for so many years, people would say to me, "You'll meet your person when you least expect it." And I got to tell you, I would do an internal eye roll when I heard that after a certain point in my life, until it happened to me.
Exactly. And by the way, as you already know, you are not alone in terms of dating in midlife. And you're not alone when people say to others, including myself, sometimes I say to my daughter, "You will meet someone, don't worry." Everyone does that eye roll. So you are not alone. And listeners, you are not alone.
Exactly. And that is so much what this is all about, that I don't want people to feel alone in their journeys. But then when I reflected back on my experience, I just could not get it out of my head, Terry, that dating in midlife should be better. It should be more connected. It should be more supportive for women. So I thought I'd try to do something about it to make it that way. And that led me to putting my consulting business on hold and creating Espoir Ventures, which is the business entity behind what I've called the First Date Stories Initiative, which, as you mentioned, has a podcast as part of it and a blog as a part of it. And soon, as of September the 14th, we'll have a book as a part of it as well.
And that is wonderful, Jody. I love that notion that it all builds together, the blog, the podcast, the book. Now, how did you collect these first date stories, and who do you want to read the book?
Well, my collecting these stories actually goes back in time to when I was a part of a short story writing group. And I was writing about all sorts of different topics, but I kept coming back to first date tales. First mine, and then as I started to tell people about what I was doing, other people started telling me their stories. And I started to on and off write them down. And then I really got serious about this. And I did it because I realized that there is so much that's powerful when you bring storytelling together with first dates. Storytelling is so powerful because it's how we connect with one another. You spoke about this on a recent episode.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Jody.
Absolutely. I'm a fan. And it's how we derive understanding of one another and empathy. It's how we get validation of our life experiences, right? But if you don't have someone to share your story with, you can feel unmoored. You can feel a little isolated and lost. And too many women in midlife don't have people who are in the same place in life that they know. And so they experience that. And the first date part you've already spoken to is that you gotta go on a first date to go on a fifth date, to go on a 100th date, to meet that lifelong partner of yours that you are intended to be with. But if you step away from the dating experience because you don't get the fuel that comes from other people sharing their stories, then you will not show up and you will never meet that person that you want to be with if, in fact, that is something that you want to have happen in your life.
Right. I love that. I agree with you completely. You have to take a risk. You have to go out on those first dates because otherwise you just don't, as you said, get the second, third, fourth, and long-term relationship. Now, I know that in your book, you discuss how you hope that these first date stories will actually then motivate people to continue to go out on first dates. So can you share with us an inspirational story, one of those first date stories, Jody, that's in your book that will inspire people, that will motivate people to do that?
Yes, I would be happy to share a story. Absolutely. So one of the stories in the book is called An Evening in the Desert. And it's the short version of this tale is that Raven had been dating for a long time and she was kind of frustrated and kind of giving up in a way. And a friend set her up with a man named Clark who was just coming out of a marriage, who hadn't dated in a very long time. And they made plans to go out together. But the day before they were supposed to go out, he called her and asked her, "Hey, I've got some friends. We're going out to a concert together. Would you like to join us?" So she had been very ready to go out on that date they had planned, but she decided to be spontaneous and go with him, even though she hadn't been expecting that. Then he asked, "Can I come pick you up?" And that was really a big question for her because her roommate wasn't going to be home. So she figured, because of the conversations they'd had, that she would be all right with him coming and picking her up. And so she said yes, but she told her girlfriends everything that was going on and told them that she would be texting them at a certain time and that if they did not hear from her, that they needed to reach out to her and to follow up to make sure she was safe. And so Clark comes to her door with a bunch of roses, and they go off to this concert. Yeah. And they really, really hit it off. They talk for most of the concert. And at the end of the concert, they stand up and are cheering for the band that they barely listen to. And then he plants a kiss on her, and it's just so magical. And then they go back to his truck, and they're driving back to town. And he says, "I'm out of gas." And she all of a sudden starts getting nervous because she really doesn't know this man. And she's wondering, is he really going to the gas station, or is there something going on here that is going to be putting her safety at risk? So she thinks she's bones in the desert, because they live in Arizona. And so she's like, "I'm bones in the desert." And it turns out, in fact, that it was a gas station that he needed to go to. He was not faking it. And she texted her friends that everything was okay. And it ended up being a magical evening, and they ended up getting married.
Wow, that's an inspirational story. I like that one. And you know, Jody, as you were telling the story, just like your book, by the way, which I love, at the end of each chapter, you have these dating tips that come from the story that's wonderful and so beneficial to the reader. But there are some strategies and some tips that we can all learn from that story. In fact, I tell my clients all the time to tell your friends, you know, where you're going, that you're going to text them. And just for safety reasons, you want to do that. So I love that story. It was inspirational, but it also had that dating takeaway tip as well.
Exactly.
And share with us also about the book structure. I know that there's a story, then there is a dating takeaway tip. You obviously did that on purpose. You obviously asked the women. Oh, and there are some inspirational quotes from the woman who shared the story as well in each chapter. Is that correct?
Well, there are inspirational quotes throughout the book, and the stories and the advice are part of it. So the way I structured it was, yes, share the tale and then derive some learnings from that tale, so that readers can walk away not only feeling as though they've read a story about someone who is in the same place of life as they are, and it's relatable to their life experience, but they can just take these tidbits with them so that when they go out into the world, to be a more confident dater. And then pepper throughout, after each chapter, a quote from actually a renowned woman. So women who are known in the world for something they have accomplished.
I like that a lot. Now, I know also in your book, Jody, you write about societal reasons why it can get harder for a woman to date as she gets older. And you've dubbed them the dating deterrents. Can you take us through some of these so that we understand some of those deterrents?
Absolutely. I would be happy to. And I kind of want to preface this by saying that there's a lot of things that are fabulous about dating in midlife. Absolutely. But there are challenges, and these challenges are not often discussed in the media or most places collectively, because there's not enough attention paid, I feel, and others I have brought into this fold feel, to people who are dating in midlife. So, Terry, there are six deterrents, dating deterrents, that I have identified. The first one is supply and demand, which is just kind of a plain economic theory, which is that the pool of single people isn't as large when you're in your late 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond as it was when you were in your 20s. So there's not as much people to choose from. And that can be a deterrent if you start seeing the same faces again and again on an app or at town events or so on.
Mm-hmm. That's a big deterrent. I agree. That supply and demand, and just not as easy either, even to find that pool of singles. Thank you. That's great. Deterrent number two, Jody.
Deterrent number two is just life gets a lot more complicated as we get older, right? I mean, you just don't have the time to date the way you did when you were younger. You've got a job, you've got a mortgage, you got to deal with the fallout of the pandemic potentially on your life. You're a caretaker, just all of that, the complications in life that take our time and take us away from potentially looking for the love that we seek.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Very good. Number three.
The third is just societal pressure. And unfortunately, there's an outdated societal expectation that women should be married by a certain age. And if she's not, you know, But thankfully, that is lessening because a woman who's not married by a certain age or coupled by a certain age is not less than at all. But we can get these questions asked to us by people who care, but are asking us questions like, how are you still single? Or why are you so picky? Or something like that, mm-hmm. that might be said out of love, but really can bring you down and not help you advance in the dating world, but actually kind of get you to stall.
And those questions, as you said, Jody, are said out of love. And I don't think people understand, listeners, that that does say something. It really is a judgment. It is an opinion when you say, how are you still single? Or you must be too picky. Those are comments that I hear others tell single people all the time. And so I think that's really important to understand. And by the way, listeners, we also know that the age of marriage has increased almost 2 years in the last decade. So the age of marriage, just in general, is increasing as well. So thank you, Jody. That was good. And number four.
Number four is one's age. Unfortunately, we live in an ageist society, a society that celebrates youth over maturity. It's a shame. I think it's changing, but there are people who buy into this approach of dating, that they only want to date people who are significantly younger than them. Mm-hmm. And that's a loss for them. At least that's been my thinking around it.
Absolutely.
That people, you know, instead of letting you like get down by the fact that you found a profile of someone and that person is your age, but is looking for someone 20 or 30 years younger, kind of feel sorry for them. Say, hey, they're missing out on me and meeting someone like me with all the wisdom and life experience and everything else that I bring. But, you know, Terry, that's just a reality.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that at times can affect self-esteem and confidence. But as you're suggesting, we need to still feel confident, listeners. So if you're single and you're in your midlife, even though you might be meeting people on an online dating app or dating site, remember, you have lots to give, and it is their loss. Excellent. Number five.
Number five is the fear of getting hurt again, right? You know, you come out of a relationship and, you know, we've all been there. It's tough at times. You're bruised potentially coming out of that relationship. And you think, well, do I want to put myself out there again to potentially get bruised again emotionally or whatever, however you are experiencing leaving that relationship. But, you know, there is that line from the song Closing Time, every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. And we have to go through that closure to get to the next door that opens.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we learn something about ourselves and the relationship and partner that we want or need through getting hurt. And finally, number six.
Yes, number six is that Community support decreases for a lot of people in midlife because, as I've mentioned before, we often don't have as many friends who are uncoupled when we're in midlife as we did when we were in our 20s and early 30s, and people are going out together as singles. So, as I said earlier, we just don't have those wing women around us if we're women, or wing men perhaps if we're men, to support us and then to share stories and to celebrate life together as it is for us. Because, you know, being single is a terrific way to live, and there's so much freedom and so many great things that come with it. And a person does not have to be coupled to live a really joy-filled, meaningful life whatsoever. But for those who want that, it is helpful to have that community support. And so that is why I have created First Date Stories, so I can elevate the voices of women, both through the podcast, actually hearing their voices, and also through the book, reading their stories, so that women get that support and know there's others out there just like them who have gone through what they're going through.
Now, as I look at these deterrents, and all six are so relevant and so apparent, it seems like these are true for men as well. And I'm wondering, in just a minute or two, if you could let us know what you think about, are these stories relevant to single men out there as well?
I do think they are. Absolutely. I think they are relevant in that we are all human beings who go through similar experiences one way or another, and when we're on our path to love. I think it's also relevant to men because I think these stories give men a really great insight into women, into the women that they are wanting to meet and fall in love with. And the tips, I think, are as relevant for men to help them understand women as they are to women to help them understand how to be successful daters.
Absolutely. And I also think they're relevant to men to understand themselves as well. As I think about my clients who are single and looking for love, and most of them are in midlife, it seems like the deterrence, it seems like the dating tips and strategies that are in your book are also relevant for them. Now, there's only 1 minute left, Jody. If there's one message or takeaway that you want people to understand from today's program, what might that be?
If you are seeking love in your life, don't give up. Just keep showing up.
I like that. What a great message to end today, Jody. Show up. Don't give up. I just wanted to say that again because it is so powerful. Thank you so much for joining me today, Jody. It's been wonderful to talk with you.
I have really enjoyed our conversation, Terry. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be on your podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you. And again, listeners, if you're interested in Jody Klein or her new book called First Date Stories, please go to firstdatestories.com. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.